And our scripture this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going back a couple of verses. We did verse 8 and 9 last week, but we're going to go back to verse 8 and go over that again. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. And in honor of God's word, would you stand with me as I read this passage to you? I'm going to go back to verse 3 and read from verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Amen. This is God's word. You may be seated. Peter impresses me as a man who, when you're talking to him, has a lot to say, maybe too much to say, but when he sits down to write, he gets right to the point, and he's clear and concise. These opening verses of 1 Peter have given us an incredible promise and an enormous challenge. First, Peter told us that the power of God supplies us with everything we need for life and godliness. There is nothing that you have need of if you're in Christ, if you've trusted him as your Savior, if you want to live in him, you have everything you need for life and godliness. Then he told us to make every effort to add to our faith the virtues that we see in God. Excellence, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You know, after the sermon last week, several of you came up as you were leaving and said, well, what was that? What was that one after that one? And which one did that one mean? So I made a little copy for you of all those virtues, okay? And if you didn't get it when you came in, it's there in the entryway, or ask me on your way out. And I give you the words in NIV, ESV, and a little definition of each word. Because Peter has made some amazing claims about adding these virtues to your life. He says, if you continue and increase in these, that you will be effective and fruitful. And if you don't, you'll be ineffective and fruitless. And not only that, but if you continue and increase in them, you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I live for. To be effective and fruitful and to receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. I can't think of anything else that even remotely comes close to that. So how do we do it? We make sure we're adding these virtues to our life. Now, if we didn't have that promise, we would think this is an impossible effort to take on the attributes of God, to be like God in his godliness and his virtue and his steadfastness. How is that? That can't be possible. But Peter just said God's given us everything we need. So he's given us what we need to add these virtues to our faith. We have it already through our knowledge of him who called us to his glory and excellence. Now, in NIV, it says by his glory and excellence. Actually, in the Greek, there's neither to nor by, so you kind of have to decide what preposition to put in there. Because these virtues, one of those virtues was already expressed in the description of God earlier, I would say that to would be the correct preposition to put in there. He's called us to his excellent virtues. He's called us to be more like him. And adding these qualities to our life increases our likeness to Christ, and therefore our glory and excellence reflect his glory and excellence. People begin to see something of the winsomeness of Jesus when they see the increase of godliness and love in our life. You know, some people say, you know, you start sharing Christ or talking about your relationship with the Lord, and they go, oh, no, wait, don't go there. My father, my uncle, my somebody was a Christian, and though that guy was such a whatever, they didn't see these qualities in that person, and that person misrepresented Christ. And so we have this obligation, Paul says in Romans 8, we have an obligation to reflect him, to be like him, so that when people say you're a Christian, there's a likeness of Christ. So they're attracted to him. They see something of Christ in us. Paul wrote to the Philippians that they were to do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. He's the light of the world. But when we reflect him, we are lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. So this addition to our faith is what we call the process of sanctification. The Holy Spirit is going to, if you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit's going to continually work on you. And when you maybe aren't as kind as you should be, you'll get that feeling of, uh-oh, something's wrong. And you'll know you need to increase in kindness. He makes you uncomfortable. He takes away the peace that you have. When we compromise his standard of godliness, we get that twinge of conviction that says this area needs to change. We need to grow here. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to respond instead of our old ways. And then we are to make every effort to change that area in our life that he's got his finger on, that he's prodding us to change. We pray for the application of that divine power that we read about earlier to change the way we think and the way we react. We trust that the Spirit will aid us in exercising self-control. But it is an effort. You don't just sit back and watch it happen. Yes, the Spirit's equipped us, but we cooperate. And that cooperation with the Spirit, it's an effort. Amen? Does anybody just have it natural? You have patience. You didn't even try, but you've got patience. You've got love for that guy that's abusive to you. You didn't even try. It's just bubbling out of your heart, right? Well, I wish, but in actuality, we have to allow we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to let that come forward. It is an effort. And it's not for the half-hearted who want to slide into heaven, you know, just Paul said about all of it be burned up and just barely get in. And in the meantime, just live for selfish pleasure. These additions to our faith come from a heart that longs to please the Savior and be effective and fruitful. And the reason they have people develop such a longing is that they've seen his love for them and they long to return that love through obedience and service. The heart that is captured by the love of Christ will long to be effective and fruitful for him. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter has just told us how we can be effective. It's by God's power and with our every effort that we see these qualities increase. And this is what we need for the last days, to be increasingly like Jesus, our perfect example. Of the billions of Christians on earth, everyone became a Christian through the knowledge of Jesus and what he had done for them. By faith, they accepted the gracious gift of salvation just like you and I did. But many of them will never grow on to fruitfulness and effectiveness for the kingdom of God. They'll just stop at that point of receiving by faith the gift of salvation. And every time the Holy Spirit prompts, they'll just say, I've got something else to do. I've got another priority in my life. I have other things that are more important to me. And therefore they become ineffective and unfruitful. Only some will become effective and fruitful in their knowledge of Christ. Some will catch the desire, the passion, to please the Lord and be effective. We're to be servants of Christ. But there's a side trap here. There's a way that you can do this and that the enemy can have you still become ineffective and fruitless in your passion to serve Christ. And that is when we end up serving a man. When we let someone come between us and Christ, someone become our priest and tell us what God's saying. Instead of going to his word, instead of learning to know his voice in prayer and in meditation on the scriptures, somebody else we allow to step in there, because you know what? It's a whole lot easier just to let someone tell you what to do. Oh, he's godly. He must know. He's a pastor, or he's a professor, or whatever. He must know, so I'll just do what he says. I was caught up in that for years. I would go out on the streets and pass out literature and collect donations and to print more literature and hunt all day long for people to witness to for years. And every day we had a scorecard. We'd come home every day and we'd put, how much money did you collect? How many pieces of literature got out? How many people did you witness to? And we'd write down and we'd keep our stats, you know. And it took me a while to realize, it took me years to realize, I was serving a man. And you know how I began to realize it? The fruit of the Spirit was gradually leaving my life. The joy was disappearing. Because when you serve God in the power of the Spirit, when you let these attributes increase in your life, when you make every effort to see they increase through your own relationship with Jesus, there is joy and there is peace. And you find yourself reacting in ways that are weird. You know, the guy screams at you and you just smile at him. I almost got hit one time. When I was working, it's another story. I won't go on that rabbit trail. But just because the joy in you, and people don't understand it sometimes, and they think you're mocking them or something. But you can't help it. You have this joy when you're devoted to the Lord and doing his will and just following him with your whole heart. But when I was in that cycle of serving a man, I wasn't doing what Peter tells us in this passage. He's telling us that the path to an effective, fruitful life is to apply the power of God to the transformation of your character so that you're more virtuous, godly, knowledgeable, steadfast, kind, and loving. Grow in Christ and you will be effective and fruitful. That's a promise here in God's word. You don't have to go out and try to become effective and fruitful. What you need to do is make every effort to add these virtues to your life, and the fruit flows from that. Your effort is to abide in Christ, to remain in him. And then the sap naturally flows through the vine and bears fruit. It's much easier to do a program, follow a set of steps that some man developed. There's a ton of books out there to tell you how to be fruitful, the formula you've got to follow. But the Bible doesn't give us steps. It presents an impossible standard and says that through the power of God, you can move toward that standard. Did you hear that? The Bible does not present a set of steps. It presents us an impossible standard, Jesus Christ. And it says, be like him. As Connie read this morning, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What? That's impossible. Wait a minute. We just read, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I can move towards that. I'm never going to be Jesus. I'm never going to walk across Oak Creek on the surface of the water. But my patience can reflect his. My love can reflect his. My joy can be his own joy. And as you let that increase, you will be effective and fruitful. The life of the Holy Spirit flows from a transformed life, and it's the Spirit that makes us fruitful in ways that last. Those little scorecards, I'm afraid, were meaningless. Utterly meaningless. It's not a one-time or a temporary effort. This growth in these virtues are something that is continually increasing. Paul calls it going from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The more we take on the attributes of the Savior, the more fruitful we become. Just look at the fruit from Jesus' 3 years of ministry. Billions of people now. Several billion people on the planet claim to follow Jesus Christ from his 3 short years of ministry. But that's because he exemplified every one of these virtues. And so he was effective and fruitful. But what about those within those billions of believers that don't seem to grow or change? What of those who stop growing and they are critical and refuse to forgive and refuse to move forward? What of those who just seem to be here for what they can get out of it or because it offers what they want and never seem to die to their flesh? Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his former sins. In other words, they lack vision. They can't see. They can't recall what Jesus did for them. Because every time we recall what he did for us, every time we have communion, every time we think of the price he paid, it makes us want to love him more. Every time we have communion, it brings tears to our eyes. That he would love us that much. And that's what pushes us forward to grow and grow and be more like him and make a greater effort to let his Spirit have his way in our life. We love because he first loved us. And when we stop considering the greatness of that love, our love grows cold. There's no longer the passion to become holy, unblemished bride of Christ that we were called to be. We stop adding to our faith, and when we stop adding these Christ-like qualities, they begin to diminish in our life. We can go forward, or we can go backward, But we can't stay where we are. We can't just stay in the same place. Apathy is backsliding. When we consider how passionate Jesus was to redeem us and the price he paid, what would apathy say about us? When we consider God's sacrifice of his one and only Son, how is it even possible that we could lose our gratitude and stop responding? It's no wonder Jesus has such a harsh attitude toward the lukewarm. When you look at what he paid, how could we be lukewarm? Keep adding to your faith. Keep increasing in the likeness of Christ. That's the only way to produce fruit that remains and to be effective from an eternal perspective. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. What a promise. We don't want to be of those who no longer can see clearly or have the vision to see ahead, to see where we came from and what God has done for us. So we need to be all the more diligent to make our calling and election certain. What are we called to? Well, we're called to be saints of the Most High God. We are the elect out of all the people on the earth to know the only true God and to experience his mercy and his grace. But Peter is telling us we better make ourselves sure of it. We had better be increasing, as that is a sign that our relationship is real. Have you ever wondered if you're truly saved? Well, there's a thing called the assurance of salvation where you just know. I mean, God lets you know in your heart you've been born again. But Peter is saying, here's one way you can tell. You increase in these qualities. And that's how you can be certain, how you can make your calling and election sure, because these qualities increase in your life. If they're not increasing, how can we be sure we are truly in a relationship with Jesus? Doesn't faith produce works? Shouldn't our faith be evidenced by spiritual growth? Now, Peter isn't telling us that that we have to work for salvation. But he is telling us that if we're going to put anything into practice, it should be increasing in these godly attributes. If you're going forward, he promises you will never fall. Now, how can he say that? You probably know, you could probably list a dozen people that you know that have fallen away, and some of them pastors. How can you say if you're increasing in your faith, you will never fall? Well, backsliding begins by stopping that increase and settling down where you are. And every time I've observed this in a brother or sister's life, it was never in the opposite direction. It was always this, stop growing, stop moving forward, satisfied with where they are, and then the compromise begins. And they start moving backwards, and then the backsliding increases. But if we're moving forward, he promises that we will not fall. So what Peter is saying is, don't stop growing. Make sure you're continuing to grow. Now, you can't measure it. You can't. There's no yardstick for it. It's all about your heart being passionate to know him more, to move forward, to recognizing the areas in your life where the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on it and saying, this needs to change. This isn't like Jesus. You need to grow in this area. And when you say, yes, Lord, show me how, you're moving forward. Let's be all the more diligent to make our calling and election sure. Let's practice these qualities. If you're going to put anything into practice, it should be these qualities. Of course they're formed and strengthened by knowing God and his word and prayer and increasing in love for him. Remember, that is the great commandment. Verse 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The God that gives us everything we need for life and godliness will help us persevere to the end. Now, most commentators believe that Peter here is talking about the second coming, a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. I believe that's true. But I don't think it's only about when we die. Because when you read the parables of the kingdom that Jesus spoke to us, the kingdom is here right now. And we enter it right now when we enter into Christ. He's the king. The kingdom has come. And when we're in Christ, we're in the kingdom. And when you're growing in Christ, when these things are increasing, you begin to see things from a kingdom perspective. If any of you have talked to Penny lately, all she sees is the hand of God. Here she is in the middle of intense chemotherapy, and all she can talk about is God's gummy bears. That's her way of saying all those cool little things that God does in your life every day. She calls them God's gummy bears. And if you want to, she'll sit down and share for hours with you about all God's cool little gummy bears in her life. You know why? Because when she started to think about how short her life was, she started to focus on Jesus. And when she got totally focused on Jesus, she began to see his hand in everything. And all she wants to do is know him more and increase in these attributes. And as that happens, she sees him more and more. And she's so excited in the middle of intense chemotherapy. That's weird. We are aliens here, you know. Can't say that in Sedona without getting in trouble. She's overjoyed to get to give of herself and wherever God calls her. It seems people that have moved into the kingdom, they just see his hand everywhere, and all they want to do is participate in it some little way, just be a part of it. And when they do, they're just thrilled to get to have a little part in what God's doing. Again, this is not about work salvation. These people are increasingly becoming subjects of the king, and they're welcomed into the fellowship of God as they grow spiritually. If you want to experience the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus right now, keep growing. Have a passion to know him better. If you don't have the passion, pray for it. He says, ask and you'll receive. If you ask according to his will, he hears you. So watch out if you pray that prayer. But if you don't have a passion, pray for it. If you don't love the word, ask him to give you a love for it. And then spend a little time in it. Make your calling and election sure. Verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. If we have a rich entrance into Jesus' eternal kingdom, even now, through the increase of these qualities, Peter's going to keep reminding his flock of these qualities. Every godly pastor will remind his flock of the need to be Christ-like and to grow spiritually. Though their congregation has heard it a million times, and even though they're students of the word, a good pastor won't let his congregation forget that it is the process of sanctification that makes us effective and fruitful. Don't get sidetracked with anything else. And there's a million other things to put in that first place. Verse 13, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir up you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. You recall right before the ascension, at Peter's restoration on the shores of Galilee, how Jesus restored Peter and told him that he was going to be led away, and not of his own will. He was telling him how he was going to die, that he too would die by crucifixion. Now, I don't know if Peter's referring back to that or if he had another fresh revelation that he was about to die. Sometimes godly people have a revelation when it's time, and they get their things in order and give their last words, and sure enough. But sometimes we're wrong. One, a missionary that I admire greatly, Charles Kalman, he put the word in every, this is in the 30s and 40s, he put the word of God in every house in Japan. Every house. What an incredible fruit to get the word into every household. And then he went to China and started working on China. Can you believe it? And then World War II broke out and he had to go back home. And his health was so broken because he was so gung-ho, passionately serving God, that his heart was failing him. He'd burned his heart up. He'd worn it out. He called all his family together around his bedside and said, I'm about to go home and I want to give you my last words. And he shared with them the things that he wanted them to remember. And he lived for 2 more years. An invalid, but on that bed, he had so many visitors that came to see him that he shared with, answered so many letters. So we don't always know the time, but Peter apparently did, because he did die shortly after this letter was written. He knew he only had a short time left, and this reminder was an urgent message for those living in the last days. Keep growing. Don't get apathetic in your faith. Keep increasing in these attributes of Christ. I know I need to hear it again and again. You know, Satan is so subtle and our flesh can be pretty demanding. I need a fresh look at the cross on a regular basis. And that's one purpose of communion. I need to remember the price that was paid, because it spurs me onward in love. As long as Peter was still alive and kicking, he was determined to keep reminding those in his care to press forward. Verse 15, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. When his mission on earth was done and God called him home through that death that Jesus predicted, he was crucified upside down. He wanted to know that his flock was enduring and remembering to keep growing and moving forward. He wanted to so drill this into their hearts and their minds that long after he was gone, they could recall this message that he was preaching. And as I prepared this, I asked myself, what have I been driving home to you? What will you remember after I'm gone? I suppose it would be dedication to the Word of God. We teach and preach the Word. We draw our conclusions from the Word. This is one of the main sources of the change that takes place in us. It's through the study of the Word that we come to know the Lord better. But we can't just have a head knowledge. That will never change us. We need to let the Spirit apply it to our lives. We need the intimacy that comes through letting the Spirit speak to us and pouring out our hearts to Him. We need the Spirit and truth. And I would hope that you would also remember that I taught that we should have a living relationship with Jesus. It's through the Word and this living relationship that we increase in these attributes that Peter has described, and through them that we are effective and fruitful. Through them, we experience a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even now. So grow up in Christ. Keep pressing forward in Christ. take time to be alone with him. It's so easy to fill our hours with everything. Television, entertainment, sports, you name it. We've got a million things, even service, even doing good things. But if you want to grow in him, you have to take time with him. This morning in our Sunday school, I asked, what does the word communicable mean? These attributes that we're supposed to get are communicable. And somebody said, like communicable disease. Yeah, you catch it. But you got to be around the person to catch it. Right? You got to hang out with God to get his attributes. You have to spend time with him, letting him speak to you. And I know that's so unlike our culture to sit still. It's so contrary to the way our world operates to just be quiet and still in his presence, to meditate on the scriptures. But if you want to grow, you got to do it. You got to develop it. You have to make every effort, which in the Greek means to be zealously urgent. That's a little more powerful, isn't it? To be zealously urgent, to be in his presence and to know him, to share your heart with him and to hear his heart.